Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. I'm Tammy Gaskell, and I am the director at the Rolf Janssen Community Library in Copaig, New York. And today I am joined for a conversation on books that inspire the imagination by Gretchen Hutchmeister, who is the executive director at the Hotchkiss Library in Sharon, Connecticut. And I'm very glad to welcome also Renee DeSimone, who is also from the Hotchkiss Library and is in charge of their children's programs. So I'm going to start off by turning it over to both of you to ask you, what books do you find especially inspiring for the imagination for younger children, for children 4 to 6, 7 to 10, and then a little bit older?
Well, I'm going to refer to Renee on this, because the books I remember the most are from when my kids were little and from when I was little, which was a long time ago.
Yeah, I will say that there's nothing like the classics, for sure, for kids. You know, you'd be surprised that with all of the new books that are out, and there's some amazing new books, some of the going back to the classics can't be beat. So I am a huge, huge fan of wordless picture books for getting kids to kickstart their imagination. Things like David Wiesner is one of my favorites, who has just some really hilarious, mostly wordless picture books. There's one called Tuesday, and I use that when I go to the school visits very often, that has to do what frogs do when people go to bed. And it's absolutely hilarious and amazing. And the kids really like to speculate, you know, what's going to happen next. And there's a dog that witnesses most of the shenanigans. So that's a real fun one. Aaron Becker also has a really great series that starts with Journey, and they are wordless picture books completely. And it has sort of that similar vibe to Harold and the Purple Crayon. But the pictures are much more sophisticated, absolutely gorgeous illustrations, but it follows a young girl who starts drawing and opens another world. And I've used that one actually with kids up to, I would say, fifth grade, to really just kind of get, you know, their sense of what could happen, what will happen, and what they would do if they had magical art materials.
I think books are really beautiful too.
Aren't they?
Yes. Yeah. What are the other two? I can't remember the titles, the other two in the series.
Oh, there's a Return, and I always forget the third one.
Yeah, but they're beautiful. Yeah. Really great. I love those.
Yeah. I think that, you know, there's so much benefit to the wordless picture books too, for kids of any age. So like all those great literacy skills that they develop, like sequencing and inferencing. But there's sort of, you know, taking both of those books kind of take an everyday thing to a magical place. And that's really fun. There's a couple of other books that do have words, that I really have found fun for kids to read. There's one called The Fantastic Bureau of Imagination, aka the FBI, by Brad and Christy Montague, that invites kids to become an imagination agent. And it really just kind of walks them through how to use your imagination. It's really fun.
I'll have to look for that one. I don't know that one.
We have it.
Yay!
Yes.
I think I too, when I asked my staff, also, you know, what books they came to mind when asked about this topic of books inspiring the imagination. And we all kind of went back to older books. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was looking back at the books I read to my kids, and that was many, many years ago now. And a couple of them were like, I used to be the aunt who gave books for Christmas, right?
Nice.
And the book I always gave was Miss Rumphius,
yes,
by Barbara Clooney. That's back in 1982. Mm-hmm. And it's a classic book about a woman who fulfills her childhood dreams of traveling and living by the sea. and making the world more beautiful. She always was trying to figure out how she could make the world more beautiful. And she finally did it by sprinkling lupine seeds everywhere and became known as the Lupine Lady. It's a story that I think can open up kids' imaginations as to what can I do? What, even if it's a small thing to really make the world a better place. And then there's another one that Barbara Clooney, or Cooney, Barbara Cooney, illustrated by Alice McLaren, Rockaboxen.
Yes, that's a really fun one.
Yeah, it's about open-ended play and the creative use of everyday objects. So it's about these kids who build this magical place on this rocky hill with nothing but sand and rocks and some old wooden boxes and cactus. But it's a special place, and all children need to go there is a long stick and a soaring imagination. So it's a celebration of transforming the transforming magic of the imagination. So those are a couple of the ones we came up with for younger kids. Did you have any suggestions for kids who are a little bit older, reading chapter books and
Yeah, definitely. And again, classics, Alice in Wonderland, James and the Giant Peach, The Phantom Tollbooth
right, that was
is
definitely one on my
such a good
list.
one.
Yeah.
And I kind of look at things like those are our classics, right? But there are like newer classics. So the Harry Potter, Percy Jackson, Wings of Fire that have become these really big name series for kids that once they start reading and can really read a longer chapter book that they always ask for. The Land of Stories by Chris Colfer is a really great series that kind of takes fairy tales and turns them upside down, but there's a real lovely family and the importance of family that kind of goes through it that really resonates with kids too. Kate DiCamillo books have some real fun imaginative things. I personally love books when the animals are sort of they're human, and they like Tales of Despero, and kids, I think it really gives them an opportunity to look at things in a different way through the eyes of animals, and kids really personify animals too, so it becomes a real natural way for them to think about the world in a different way. I also last year read an absolutely fantastic new book called Village Beyond the Mist. It's by Sachiko, I'm going to say this wrong, Kishiwaba, and it's translated from, I believe, Japanese, but it is the most delightful, fantastical book. A young girl takes a walk through the woods, instructed to go visit a family member, kind of Red Riding Hood-ish in that beginning. She's carrying a red umbrella. But when she gets to this other world, she meets the most amazing characters and strange things happen. And every which way she turns, her imagination is challenged to try to solve a problem for these characters. It is so lovely. And one of those books that anytime a kid comes in, I absolutely recommend.
That sounds
Yeah, we
great.
find, yeah, I like that you also mentioned series, because at this age that there are a lot of really great series, and kids latch onto those. Once they find one they like, they want to read everything in it. And a few of the series that even older series, like my kids all read the Magic Treehouse books, and those really inspire the imagination. It's these kids who find a treehouse filled with books that take them to all kinds of places and historical time periods, and so they're really very imaginative. The Choose Your Own Adventure series, where you can sort of pick your own pathway, and there's another one sort of like that, Cased Closed series by Lauren Magaziner. It's a little bit older level, also interactive mystery book series where readers help solve puzzles to crack cases.
I think just the mere act of reading, when a child learns to read, no matter what it is, it's awakening that imagination, and how wonderful it is to witness that happening, no matter what the book is, I think.
Yeah.
That's
It's always so fun when the kids start to, the teachers start reading the Magic Treehouse, and then they want to come in and they just want to read all of the Jack and Annie books.
Yep.
And it's such an exciting thing, and they're so excited.
Right. My favorite Kate DiCamillo book is Edward Tulane. I think the full title
Oh.
is the Mysterious Journey of Edward Tulane?
Miraculous.
Miraculous Journey.
Miraculous.
I'll
Yeah.
never forget when my kids discovered that book, and that's how I discovered it, through them. One of their teachers had read it out loud in school, and then we brought it home and must have read it, I don't know how many times, but the adventure of a stuffed rabbit he is, right? That gets separated from his owner and takes many years of a long adventure. And it's just an incredible, her books are just incredible.
Well, I think that gives us a lot of, hopefully it's summer reading time. We're trying to encourage kids to read, and there's certainly a lot of good books out there to get them inspired and reading. And I'll have to look for some of those you've suggested. They sound very interesting.
Yes, likewise. I
And there are books
also,
for adults too that spark the imagination, right? That's all of
absolutely.
them. That's right.
So speaking of that, so what are the adults in your library reading these days?
Oh, Renee helped me gather some titles yesterday. The most requested books remains Theo of Golden. Still, our two copies are constantly going out. And the new addition to that list is Whistler by Ann Patchett, her new novel, which people are just raving about right now. And the most checked out books are those two books. And then, of course, Yesteryear by Caro Claire Burke continues to be really, really super popular. Transcription by Ben Lerner, and the new Courtney Mom novel, Alan Opts Out. So we have summer reading for adults too. You can pick up a summer reading bingo card here and check some things off. How about
And
over, sorry, Renee, what were you going to
I
say?
was just going to say, and enter to win a $50 gift card to Avlon
That's right.
if you
That's
need
right.
any more motivation.
If you have
Yeah.
time to read even more books.
Yes.
Yeah,
We
how
have very
about
similar. We also have a bingo challenge for adults, and they can win a gift card to Books and Cakes at a bookstore here
nice.
in Hillsdale.
Oh, that's
Um,
nice.
but our most popular books are very similar to yours. Yesteryear is at the top of the list by far, and that's been there for a while. And Whistler is a very close second by Ann Patchett. The other one that's now on the list is Maggie O'Farrell's latest novel,
Oh,
Land,
land.
which
Yeah.
is
Oh,
set
I love
in the mid-19th century Ireland after the Great Hunger. So I'm looking forward to reading that one.
I'm currently listening to the audiobook. It's really great.
Is it good? Oh, good.
Yeah. Yep.
Good. I love her books. They're
Yeah.
fabulous.
And as far as nonfiction goes, the most popular nonfiction book right now is Maggie Haberman and Jonathan Swan's Regime Change,
Right.
Inside the Imperial Presidency of Donald Trump. So, two New York Times reporters who have been covering the Trump administration for years. And this book is about his first year of the second presidency. So,
Has the interest in the correspondent slowed down? It's not on our list anymore.
yes, it's still there, but it's maybe down to five or six instead of the top three. Yeah.
Right.
I think Strangers by Bell Burton has dropped on our list as well quite a
Yeah.
bit.
And what are you reading yourselves?
I'm actually reading the new Bonnie Garmis book, the author of Lessons in Chemistry, but don't get too excited. It's not coming out till the fall, but I have an advanced copy. It's called Peck and Peck, and it's similar in that it deals with a really smart, creative person in sort of trying circumstances. But it's about a young man who's loves poetry, and but he's not really a poet himself, and he becomes somehow led into this very secretive world of a very exclusive, insular poetry journal that's published in a very secretive building. It has a little magic to it, I would say. But it's very interesting, very interesting. I'm enjoying it. It's good. And I fi finally finished the book I was reading last time we talked, I think, John of John by Douglas Stewart, and it's by far my favorite book of the year so far, about father and son in the Outer Hebrides on the Isle of Harris in Scotland, and has a little of everything, but it's absolutely the most gorgeous language. So I encourage people to read that as well. How about you, Renee?
Well, I am probably about a quarter of the way through Land by Maggie O'Farrell, and I'm enjoying it immensely. I don't know if I because I read so many kids' books, I may have I don't think I read I did not read Hamnet, but really the writing is so lovely, and the narration on this, I have it through Palace, is very good. So when I'm not in the car, I just started a YA book called Girl Reflected in Knife by Anika Moroz Risi, and it's really it's really I think mostly about family addiction and mental health, but unfortunately, and there's some sort of blurs the line between reality and fantasy in this young teen's mind, and it's a very powerful book so far. So I'm hoping to be able to finish that this weekend. Trying my very best to read books that books that are recommended to me this year. That's my goal, because there's so many that we come across that I just keep in a list and don't do anything with. So,
Right, not enough time. How about you,
yeah.
Tammy?
I think last time we talked, I would just started reading the sequel by Jean Hampf-Kurlitz, which is the sequel to The Plot. And I finished it recently. So this is the story of a literary widow who becomes a writer herself, and then blackmailed by an anonymous blackmailer who's threatening to expose dark secrets about her past. I enjoyed it. I would not say I enjoyed it as much as The Plot. I didn't find it particularly, believable. Or it's a thriller, but it's not a hanging on the edge of your seat kind of thriller. You could kind of predict what's happening, but it was a fun a summer read. So how about events? I'm sure you got a busy summer ahead of you.
I'm going to interrupt you for a moment on events, guys. This show will not air until next Friday. So when you talk about your events
Okay, nothing
this
next
coming
week.
weekend and next week are out. Sorry about that.
Okay. Well, I will mention again our big annual fundraiser, the 28th annual Sharon Summer Book Signing, which is coming up on Friday, July 31st. We have a full weekend of events. That Friday evening is the book signing here at the library with 24 authors, for adults and children, illustrators. It's a beautiful cocktail party. We'll have readings. We have books for everyone, six adult fiction titles, several children's authors, a lot of gardening and history, not great nonfiction, art, design, music, health and wellness, civics. So everybody come out to that great party. And then the next day on Saturday, August 1st, from 10 to 4:30, we have an all-day celebration of cookbooks, also under the tent, outside the library. And we'll have six food writers. The morning features a curated cheese tasting, from 12 to 1. As part of that session, we have a lunch break, and then in the afternoon, we have three more authors. And the last person, our sort of keynote speaker, is Melissa Clark from the New York Times cooking section, an author of many, 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 many cookbooks. And she'll be talking about what it's like to be part of the New York Times cooking establishment. And she has a new book coming out in the fall, which I'm sure she'll talk about. But there are tickets for the morning or the afternoon or an all-day ticket that includes lunch. And then the next day, I think Renee would like to talk about our new event on Sunday, August 2nd.
Yes, we are having a kids' summer reading carnival from 11:30 to 2 on the 2nd. And it'll have games, a magician, face painting, balloon tying, an ice cream truck. And every kid will be able to choose a book as the prize, for a prize at the end of the carnival.
It's definitely summer reading time at our library too.
It
So we have some events coming up related for kids also. The first of those is on the Monday. Well, actually, no, an adult program, I would say. The first program coming up is Monday, the 27th. We have a virtual program co-sponsored with the Columbia County Libraries Association. And in keeping with the 250th anniversary of the founding of the United States, we're having a genealogy program unearthing early American records, which focuses specifically on records of the Revolutionary era. Then for kids that week, we have that whole week, Tuesday through Friday, we have a sort of a camp, an archaeology dig camp, where kids sign up, and there's an hour a day, but it's a week-long program run by the 4-H, where they learn about archaeological discoveries, help learn about ancient cultures, daily life, history, while building, critical thinking skills and curiosity.
That sounds great.
Yeah, we're
I
looking
want to go.
forward to
That sounds
that.
like fun.
Yeah, and then that same week, a different time, earlier in the morning, Science on the Go, dinosaurs on Wednesday, the 29th of July. So this is presented by the Mid-Hudson Discovery Museum, and it's all about the world of dinosaurs and what we've learned through fossils. And there'll be a lot of hands-on activities and interactive discoveries. Both of those sound really, really fun. So end of July programs to look forward to.
That's great. Yeah, Renee has lots of great summer reading things, and you can find all the details on our website.
Okay, well, it was great talking to you, and I'm going to look for some of those books you've mentioned. So I look forward to talking again next month.
Thanks for
Thank
inviting
you.
me.
Thanks for coming,
Okay.
Renee.
Yep.
Bye, Tammy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.